We welcome head of the Big Bash Leagues, Alistair Dobson, to Grandstand yet again. It's a fair point to start on. Alistair, how are you doing on this Sunday?
Yeah, g'day, Quentin. It's been a season of interesting debate around rules and quirks of the game, and last night was certainly at the top of that list. It was fascinating to see that unfold live.
So, what should the rule be?
Well, it's a good question. I think my understanding is the rule changed a few years ago when there was a ball that I think Aaron Finch had hit that was clearly going for six and hit the roof and was called a dead ball. And at that point, there was determined that perhaps a fairer solution was for it to be a six. And then I think last night we perhaps saw the opposite. So I don't have a clear view. I think it's a really interesting one that we'll debate, I'm sure, postseason. I think the fact that it's happened, you know, less than a handful of times in 12 years of the BBL and you get two in one innings is probably just sums up the season we're having in terms of amazing individual feats and some quirkiness at the same time.
What are the rules regarding spider cam? And do we just take a direct lead from that and think, well, if the ball hits an obstacle that's, the roof's an immovable. I'm trying to use sort of golf terminology here, but the spider cam does move. But you know what I'm saying? Can't we take a lead of maybe thinking that the roof is the same as if the ball hit spider cam?
Yeah, I think there's some parallels to be drawn there. That said, your point around the roof being fixed is right in the sense that every ground, I think, has different quirks. A six at Adelaide Oval is probably caught 20 metres inside the boundary at the MCG, and you know every ground has some different quirks. And obviously at Marvel Stadium, it's the roof. So trying to find a playing condition that has consistency across all those different things is often the challenge to create a black and white outcome. This has probably tested us a little bit in terms of the right scenario, given it both looked like they were probably going to be catches if we didn't have a roof. So, yeah, as I said, it's, and the spider cam scenario is an equally relevant one for us to look at. So we'll have a close look after the season.
Just trying to think, Pikey. The rules at the county ground at Canterbury, at Kent, when the tree used to be there. Alice, did you remember what the rule? It was four if it hit the tree, didn't it?
I vaguely remember. I'm vaguely reading something this morning that they might have been six as well, but I wouldn't bank on my knowledge of that competition.
Yeah. Alistair Dobson with Quentin Hull and Kirsten Pike with you on Grandstand. There's heaps to talk about, so we've touched on that. Let's go to, one of the stories of the week and the changeover of the players and the fact that the Test Stars come back in and we have a number of players leaving to the myriad of leagues that are starting around the globe. What's your feedback that you're getting so far from how the fans are accepting it?
I think the fan feedback this season's been terrific. I think everyone's really enjoyed the competition, the closeness of the games, the way the players are performing and how much they're enjoying it. I think having such big name overseas players kick off the competition gave us real momentum this season. And I think it's actually created a bit of a freshness to the second half of the season when the Australian players or the Test players have been able to come back in. I think it's been not necessarily just a coincidence, but it's certainly been a nice, clean separation or point in the season where one group leaves and another goes. Obviously, our absolute preference would be to have everyone playing every game, but you know the global cricket landscape is pretty dynamic at the moment. And I think from our perspective, being able to have a competition that tries to capture or get the best of both has worked out pretty well. I think, and obviously we've got some big-name players playing their first game for the Sixers this evening as well. So just gives everyone something else to look forward to and talk about, and I think it's worked pretty well.
Alistair, Kirsten here. Just looking at, you know, the landscape of the game and trying to create that window for the BBL, you talk about that changeover and the players going away. What conversations have been having between Cricket Australia and the likes of South Africa around ensuring that there is almost a isolated or separated window for these series to occur?
Yeah, I think obviously it's very dynamic and moving really quickly, and we have regular sort of dialogue with other home boards, particularly through Nick Hockley, our CEO, and via the ICC. So we're always in contact with those boards. I think this year is the first for those two competitions, so we're sort of seeing how they unfold a bit. In the future, we may bring our season forward a week. I think we've, as part of the announcement of our new media rights, we might bring it forward 1 week. In the coming seasons, which will help. And that, from our perspective, is just making sure we're as competitive as we can be, both in terms of remuneration for players And I think ultimately players love coming to play in Australia in the Big Bash, and those that have left with glowing reports of their experience this season in the teams they've played in and the stadiums and the crowd. So while it is one thing for us to try and manage the schedules for, you know, in somewhat in consultation with those boards, probably more importantly from our perspective, it's to make sure we're providing the best possible environment and experience for the players, so that if they have to choose, they choose the BBL. And I think the feedback we've had this year has been that they've loved their experience and can't wait to come back again next year.
Head of the BBL, Alistair Dobson, with you on Grandstand on ABC Sport. Quentin Harlan, Kirsten Pike, sharing this chat around the cricket. If you've got a thought, 0467920222. Cam at Tara's having a good one here. One hand off the roof is out, isn't it? That's a good one. On the text, it's like one hand, one bounce. 0467920222. Alistair, is there ever any contemplation now? Do we have to just be content with the world of T20 cricket? Would there be a thought at all that you could ask a player, if you're nominating for the draft, you have to stay with the Big Bash for the entirety of the season? Or is that practically and commercially impossible and undoable?
Yeah, I also don't think it's really necessary. I mean, our clubs are able this year in the draft, able to draft players according to their availability. They knew full well who was available when they drafted them and for how long, and made decisions at that draft table that best suited their teams, and they were able to select players that they knew might play 7 or 8 of the 14 games, and if that was enough to get them into the finals, that was part of their strategy. I think ultimately a player's value is up to them, and if they want to put themselves out there for some or all of the season, it's really up to the clubs to then determine whether they want to contract them. Obviously, as I said a minute ago, our objective or number one is to make sure they're as incentivised and keen to play as many games, if not the whole season. So I don't think we'd ever put a complete availability as a mandatory, because I think that's too restrictive. And we've seen since day one of the Big Bash that players do come and go during the season, and that's up to whether that's international commitments historically or increasingly commitments in other competitions, has always been part and parcel of the BBL.
It feels a little at the moment, Kirsten, that T20 cricket for men during the December-January window, it's a bit like there's a restriction to prime cuts at a buffet, and it's get in first or offer the best possible deal, because everyone wants the star players. Yet how much the star player, it's almost like the food can choose the plate, not the other way around.
Yeah, well, you see that going around all the competitions, though, don't you, Q, in this environment? And it's probably what Alistair was saying. It's trying to, how do we actually get enough money in the pot to invite these and attract these professional players and the ones that do go around the globe playing the T20 competition, because they are the marquee players. And I think it's actually quite neat these days to see players that are specialist T20 players. So, you know, you see the likes of, say, for the Heat, the likes of Marnus or Matt Renshaw or Usman Khawaja coming back into the team. They're not specialist T20 players. So it creates this different element. So I think it's nice to have the specialist T20 players, the Colin Munro, Sam Billings, you see Faf playing as well. And I actually read an article that this morning that was talking about even trying to invite some of the New Zealand players, not having them as, you know, international superstars, but basically calling them, you know, local players for the purposes of the competition, given the close proximity to Australia. So trying to extend upon that and seeing if we can get, you know, additional marquee players and not having the likes of a not New South Wales, I'm a Queenslander, that's why I'm saying they're international, but the likes of a New Zealand player coming in and playing as a local player as opposed to being an overseas player for this competition.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because Alistair, even calling some of the so-called lower nations during the T20 World Cup and seeing that the talent from teams from the UAE and the Netherlands and so forth, is there a thought that, well, one way around it is change the rules? Maybe when it comes to an international player, you've got, 3 slots for the top 10 nations, and then ostensibly if you want to bring anyone else from an international perspective in, that's a free hit.
Yeah, I think that's always a consideration. What I would say is that we've also seen, again this year, the opportunity the BBL provides to some local players that become overnight sensations. Obviously, we've seen one or two at the Brisbane Heat and other players come through. So, you know, ultimately the question is around the BBL being still a place where local players become stars. And that's a really important element of the Big Bash, has always been that way. And you know, even watching the Governor General's game in the last couple of days, for, you know, we've got some players that are household names now for through the WBBL that perhaps wouldn't have been previously until they made their Australian debut. So I think the Big Bash was played both in the men's and women's such an important role of bringing these players to, you know, into prominence as they come through. And I guess the other point is ultimately the Big Bash has always been innovative and been able to adapt and continues to adapt to make sure it can be as strong as it can. And whether that's, you know, where players come from, how we set up our list rules, et cetera, is always a big part of it. So we'll continue to adapt, you know, as required. But, you know, local players becoming stars is part and parcel of the BBL historically.
And Alistair, I'm just going to play you a couple of thoughts from the guys from the Strikers about Rashid Khan's comments following Australia's decision not to play Afghanistan in the UAE.
I'll support Rash, but I'll support Siow on the same side. So that's why the stakeholders make decisions they can. And that's why Rash personally make decisions. He's not bound to come to Australia to play. It's his personal decision to play. I know he plays it because he loves being in Adelaide. He loves the environment that we create, and he loves the Big Bash. That's a personal thing that Rash is going to have to make a decision on.
That's Travis Head. Here's Alex Carey on the same issue.
He wants to play cricket for his country against a really strong country in Australia. So, yeah, they're bigger issues than I guess, you know, we can sort of comment on and probably have to understand in a lot more depth. But, he sounds obviously really disappointed in that decision. And no doubt over the next few days there'll be some more clarity around it from CA. But, yeah, as a mate of his, we love him. We hope we get to see him back in the Big Bash and, we find a way through.
So that's Travis Head and Alex Carey speaking about their Strikers teammate Rashid Khan, following Rashid's comments that he may have to reconsider his future in the Big Bash League following Cricket Australia's decision not to play Afghanistan due to its gender equity record. Is this collateral damage that is acceptable to you, Alistair? If the stars from Afghanistan don't want to come and play here because of policy from Cricket Australia, is that something that you're comfortable with?
Yeah, I'm not sure collateral damage is the way that I'd phrase it necessarily, but I think our CEO, Nick Hockley, has been very, very clear on that, as has all the statements from Cricket Australia around basic human rights and the importance that we put on that, you know, as Australian cricket and the BBL supports that position. That said, Rashid Khan's one of the most loved players probably in the history of our competition, and we would love to see him back. I know he loves the Strikers, and certainly the people of Adelaide love him, and, you know, he'll always be welcome in the BBL. So we certainly hope between now and next season that we're able to be in touch with him and his other countrymen as well that have played such a big role in the Big Bash, and we hope to see him back. I think, you know, maybe time will tell there.
Is it fair to say that the relationship between Cricket Australia and any cricketer, male cricketer in Afghanistan, is becoming increasingly untenable?
Oh, it's probably not something I'm really qualified to comment on necessarily. I haven't had direct conversations with those players, you know, understand their views and their frustration about not being able to play in those matches. That said, from a BBL perspective, we'd love to see them back, and their relationship with their clubs is really important, and we would hope to see them back as soon as next year.
What do you think, Pikey? This is a domino effect that is starting to ripple through all parts of cricket, the relationship that Afghanistan has with the rest of the world.
Oh, look, I think it's a really sensitive and a tricky issue to navigate your way through, and my personal view is that I think Cricket Australia made the decision that the ICC should have and ought to have given their, you know, to become an ICC member. As I understand, you need to have a women's team out there, and they don't have that. So maybe Cricket Australia made that decision and, you know, ICC should have. But look, I understand where Rashid Khan's coming from. You kind of eat it, cake and eat it too. So, you know, it's a big statement for them to make, and they obviously enjoy coming out here, the Afghanistan players. But from a Cricket Australia point of view, well, you know, it is a pretty terrible environment since the Taliban's taken over, and to see the women's rights kind of eroded, it's going back in time. So, you know, from a female in Australia, you kind of accept these things as something that's a given, your right to, you know, employment, to education. So to see that not being something that is available to women and girls over in Afghanistan, you know, it's quite devastating. So,
well, I'll go to this, Alistair Dobson from the Big Bash League with Quentin Hull and Kirsten Pike. I think we're getting to the point, Alistair, where if it's not good enough for the Australian men to play Afghanistan anywhere, should we even allow the Afghanistan players to play in the Big Bash?
Oh, again, I'm probably not going to comment on specifics. As Kirsten said, it's a tricky, complicated, you know, questions to answer around that. So, you know, right now, those players are absolutely welcome in the Big Bash. We hope to see them back.
But what message does it send if they're welcome to play our domestic T20 league, but we're not going to play them in men's cricket because of the issues of human rights with their political regime?
Yeah, I don't think it's personal to the players, Quentin, would be the point. It's not about the individuals necessarily. So as they come and play as individual cricketers playing in a striker shirt or another BBL shirt, I think that becomes a different scenario, albeit nothing's clear-cut in this scenario. So I think that's our position at the moment on that, and which I think is reasonable.
Yeah, I'm having sort of it's a conversation over the fence of it. You can almost lean over the fence and talk tennis and the Russian and Belarus. Maybe you need to have a chat to Wimbledon about this, Alistair, to sort of try and see the issues that you have when it comes to these types of political issues, which are important around the world that we live in.
Yeah, I think any sport that operates in a global landscape, as you say, whether that's tennis or cricket or soccer globally, is having to deal with and consider these really complex, important matters, and cricket's no different. And I suspect it will be something we'll have to consider, whether it's this specific scenario or others, ongoing.